Good morning. Good morning. So, we understand that the government shutdown is over. The Democrats have capitulated. You don't have to be put on a hunger strike anymore for them. And that's good news. That's good news. We had the mayor yesterday, and as he says, he can't shut down the New Bedford government just because he doesn't like something. And, you know, we had a pretty good conversation, but, you know, he said, look, there were hard choices to make, but you got to make them. So anyway, we're glad that the Democrats saw the error of their ways and decided to reopen the government with their small minority, the position that they have in the U.S. Senate. But they did it. We'll see how local Democrats voted in the House. That's very important. If you know, if you want to chime in, you can. 508-996-0500. We lost Cape Air. At least the flights to Boston. That's not a good thing. That's really not a good thing. I was pretty excited about that. I saw the benefit of it. Being able to catch a direct flight from the city of New Bedford to the city of Boston. But that's gone. Already, it didn't survive the government shutdown, the cutbacks at Logan Airport due to the government shutdown created by the Democrats. I think it's a, well, I know it's a major blow to the prestige of the greater New Bedford area. The transportation network that has been being built. Really, really too bad, right? That's too bad. Is it unexpected? Did any of you take it? I do think if it had more time, it would have caught on, but you can only burn, I guess, through so much cash. And when you have the unreliable federal government with such a big involvement in air travel, having to make cutbacks, not a lot's going to survive, right? That's too bad, though. It really is. The direct flights, for those of you who are planning to take one, a direct flight from New Bedford to Boston, I literally was just talking about it 2 days ago with somebody. And they hadn't taken it, but they were looking forward to taking it. Because they were heading out of Logan. And we were talking about it. And they'll have to readjust their plans now. So, anyway. 508-996-0500. The shutdown is over. How did you weather it? Now, the other thing we're going to talk about is the attempt by the governor to increase the auto excise tax. We were very successful as an audience, as a host, persuading the majority Democrat legislative delegation locally to oppose the governor last time around. I had a communication with Senator Montigny, as I regularly do. And he told me to tell you, he is absolutely opposed, as he was last time, to increasing the auto excise tax. So, Senator Montigny came out right out of the gate and told me to tell you, his constituents, and a lot of Americans who aren't his constituents, who are in the audience, that he is absolutely opposed to Maura Healey's move to increase the auto excise, allow cities and towns to increase the auto excise tax. So that is really good to hear. Not surprising, but he says he's more adamant this time than he was last time. That he understands nobody that he represents in the Senate can afford to see their auto excise tax increased. And he's going to do everything in his power to oppose that. But here's the other part. Remember, in that bill that the governor is putting forward, it makes it easier for cities and towns to contact the registry so that people who can't pay their auto excise tax lose their ability to drive legally in the Commonwealth. That is the other part of this bill, the Municipal Empowerment Act, that Governor Healey is putting forward. Not only would it raise the auto excise tax potentially, in other words, she's allowing cities and towns, should the bill pass, to raise the auto excise tax and take people's driver's licenses easier if they do not comply with the auto excise tax, which that is a trip to the criminal justice system for most law-abiding people. Because what ends up happening is you don't pay the auto excise tax, you don't realize that you don't have a license anymore. Then you get pulled over, or God forbid you get in an accident. And you don't have a driver's license. You get arrested. God forbid it's a Friday or a holiday weekend, right? You're spending a number of days in Ashtray. You're a normal person, maybe a normal lady, and you didn't pay the auto excise tax for whatever reason, and now the city and town has contacted the registry in a expedited process put forward by the governor, and you don't have a driver's license, and you're a criminal. I mean, it's really, really outrageous. So anyway, I communicated with Senator Montigny. We had text messages. Yes, I said, thank you, Tim. And he told me, tell your audience, my constituents, that I'm absolutely opposed, and he's going to fight the increase in the auto excise tax by the governor, the entire bill. There are other parts of that bill that are pretty bad as well. Are you for having your auto excise tax increase? Remember, guys, this is all an attempt by the governor, her municipal allies, to weaken Proposition 2.5. It's been on the books since the voters passed it in 1980. Without Proposition 2.5, many people could not afford to own property. Because there was a history in the Commonwealth of cities and towns just going back to the property owner, back to the automobile owner for auto excise tax, raising it and raising it and raising it. But the voters rebelled. They passed Proposition 2.5, and that put a cap on what your cities and towns can charge you. Many of us could not afford property without Prop 2.5, and this governor and her municipal allies are looking to get rid of it. Weaken it, ultimately kill it. 508-996-0500. You got to be on the lookout for it. You know, it's that magical time of year here on the South Coast with the cold weather rolling in. That's when your car won't start. Your wallet's empty. And that special somebody in your life has a list that has champagne dreams. But don't panic. Mid-City Scrap in Westport has your back and your tow truck. They are paying top dollar for junk cars. Running cars, rusted cars, or frozen solid cars. It does not matter. They'll tow it for free, get it out of your sight, and get you the cash you need for Christmas gifts. That means more cash for gifts, heating oil, and let's be honest, more eggnog. Call Mid-City Scrap in Westport today or stop by Mid-City Scrap, 548 State Road in Westport. Mid-City Scrap, turning junk cars into cash all winter long. If you're on hold, stay there. It's open phones. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. I'm Chris McCarthy. Good morning.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Crazy Janie and a Mission Man. We're back in the alley trading hands. Long came Wild Billy with his friend G-Man, all rooted up for Saturday night. Well, Billy slammed on his coaster brakes and said anybody wanna go on up to Greasy Lake.
You know, upgrading your home's energy efficiency can feel overwhelming, but with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions. Whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps, they even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your company and your savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. Kind of open phones this morning. If it's on your mind, we're talking about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
What's happening, Mike Jansen?
Good. I'm doing good. you know, instead of trying to raise money on the backs of struggling people, what needs to be done, both in municipal and state government, massive cuts need to take place. That's what needs to be done. Stop trying to raise revenues on the it's happening here in New Bedford, and it's happening statewide with the school of governor, of course. And talking about Prop 2.5.
Yes.
This mayor, when he first got in, didn't exceed it. But ever since, he's exceeded, and I don't know how he's gotten away with it, but he's exceeded Prop 2.5 every year, and he's gotten away with it. That needs to be looked into. And what happened to the audit? That was voted on well over a year ago, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Have we had an audit?
We have not.
Yeah.
We have not.
I wonder, well, you know why? Because it wouldn't look too good for her of how she spent your tax dollar or how this mayor has spent your tax dollar. You can't, this foolish for any elected official in today's world to try to raise revenue on the backs of the struggling people here. I mean, throughout the state, people are struggling to get by. But here in New Bedford, it's ridiculous. People are really up against it. And this guy exceeds Prop 2.5. He wants to get extra $72 million. Our city council did the best thing they've ever done, shot him down on that floating a bond for $72 million. Bonds have to be paid back, correct?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Yeah, it's not like free money. I mean, taxpayers have to pay that back. What's in the minds of these people that we elect to public office that don't understand that people are struggling? They don't get it.
The thing is that a lot of people have desires when they get into office for power. And power comes from money, right? I mean, there's money power. And at the municipal level, people don't want to cut budgets because it's power.
Well, when you have a disparity of a quarter of a billion dollars from revenues in your operating budget, then you've got to take a good look at who you are and what you're doing to our city. I mean, it's sad that this guy, this mayor, this administration and his people that he's hired just don't get it. Department heads that over budget. I mean, I can go on and on, but I don't want to take too much of your time. So I'll be listening.
Thanks, Mike Jansen. We always appreciate Mike's contribution to the program and his contribution to the city of New Bedford and the greater New Bedford area. You have to have priorities, right? We know that. You have them in your home budget, your personal budget, right? Things you need to pay for, things you have to pay for, stuff you want. Municipalities are the same way. Now, I'll give you an example. Many of you are going to be asked whether you want to build a new vocational school. Old Colony, apparently, is outgrowing its existing building. It's older. And so that's going to be the communities of Acushnet, Rochester, Mattapoisett. A number of you are going to have a ballot question coming up. Do you want to build a new old Rochester regional? I'm sorry, Old Colony Vocational Technical High School. Which, now, let me say this. I hear from people who send their kids there. I hear from graduates of there. It's a phenomenal school. Really a phenomenal school. I actually know people that didn't get in. And they're kind of bitter about it. It's a phenomenal school. That's not the question. The question is, can the taxpayers afford to build a new one? That's part of the priority. And so you're going to say yes, and then you're going to have to vote on whether how you pay for it. It'll be a debt exclusion, meaning when the bonds are paid for building the new school, your taxes will go back to normal, whatever that was. It'll be probably a 20-year bond to pay for the school. And that's going to be voted on by the individual communities that feed into Old Colony. Now, there's also a conversation, has been anyway, about building an additional vocational school for what is the Greater New Bedford Vocational District. Again, people get a phenomenal education. I meet a lot of the kids who are in the school. They come through here as in a program that we do. Over the years they have. I'm not sure we're doing it again. But they have come through here over the years. I've met a lot of the kids coming through. We have people who work here today. That's how we met them, was they came through the Greater New Bedford Regional Vocational Technical High School program with radio and media. And you meet, I have a lot of callers who are graduates. Senator Mark Montigny, as an example, is a graduate of the vocational school. Now, here's the thing. They've moved to a lottery, which will certainly change the composition of the school. Change a lot of things about the school. Some for the better. Certainly the students that go there, if they take advantage of it, the educational opportunities, it's for the better for them. Maybe kids that wouldn't have gotten in. But it also means that the students who wouldn't have gotten in will now get in. And that's going to change a lot about vocational education. We know that. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Kind of open phones if it's on your mind. I want to hear about it. I said to you, the governor really, really wants to allow cities and towns like New Bedford, Fairhaven, Mattapoisett, Freetown, to be able to raise the auto excise tax on you. She brought it up a couple of years ago, and we killed it. We killed it She's bringing it back again. What say you? And making it easier for the cities and towns to take your driver's license through the registry if you don't comply, which is a ticket to the criminal justice system for most of us, right? Other than that, other than driving offenses, we aren't involved with the criminal justice system. You lose your driver's license. Talk to a lot of guys in jail. Talk about, how they got there. Well, it had something to do with driving, right? Anyway, 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, couple of comments. Michael Jansen, he's 100% correct. The governor has got to go. We need new leadership in Beacon Hill. As far as the mayor, he's out of control. This budget should have never got to $550 million. We got a tax cut, a tax increase coming. Whether it's going to be the residents or it's going to be the businesses, we'll see how that falls. But this city has to be, along with the state, we have to have cuts made to survive. And lastly, on the school, I would say get Healy out of office with green energy regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And then build a school, because the cost to build and to maintain the school are going to be outrageous, and we probably could save a lot of money if we get her out of office. What do you think?
No, I think you're right about that. I know from talking to people who are looking at the Old Colony School as an example, that the amount of Green New Deal religious stuff they've got to build into the school really is making the cost astronomical.
Yeah, I mean, they won't use natural gas. They're automatically going electric. And no matter what, everybody can blame Eversource and everything. But Mara Healy appoints the DPU.
Mm-hmm.
And in August, they said that they were going to look into the rates of electric and gas and everything, and nothing was done. And people keep slamming Eversource. You got the fish rots from the head down, and you got to look at Mara Healy and say, hey, her time's come. Her vision didn't work. It's time to go. And same with John Mitchell. His vision, 10 years in. If you were 10 years in as a owner or operator of a company, and you had a budget that went from $247.3 million to $550.8 million, you'd be gone. And I like John Mitchell as a person, very friendly, well-spoken, but City of New Bedford is in trouble. And we need new leadership. And I hope this council that comes in gets that message, because taxes should not be raised. We should be looking to get back. This city should be able to be run on $500 million. We should be trying to get back to that point. Going up to $600 million or whatever would be crazy and get this city closer to receivership. And that's my rant. I thank you, and I hope you have a great day.
You too, my friend. Thanks for the contribution to the program. I appreciate it. 508-996-0500. What do you expect from the new city council? About 20% of the council changed. You have Maria G. Esther is gone. Well, we think she's gone. There'll be a recount. I understand she requested the paperwork. There's a deadline, though. I don't believe, as I went to the air this morning, that she had returned the paperwork to ask for a recount. But I'm keeping a close eye on that, because it is possible, highly unlikely, But it is possible that Maria Giesta could survive the recount and get another 2 years and therefore a pension from the city of New Bedford, from you, the taxpayers of the city of New Bedford. But we're watching that. But we know that Linda Morad voluntarily surrendered her seat. And so a gentleman by the name of James Roy, a progressive activist, but we'll see what he's like when he takes office in January, right? You don't know. You really don't know what someone is like until they get the power. As of now, he's always been on the outside agitating for change. Now, he'll have to make a decision on the record. So we'll see what he does with it, right? We'll see what he does with it. 508-996-0500. I got to take a break. All right, I see you folks on hold, but I do have to take a break. Good morning, I'm Chris McCarthy. We'll be right back. Shouldn't be long.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
The flag of piracy flew from my mast. My sails were set wing to wing. I had a jukebox graduate for a first mate. She couldn't sail, but she sure could sing. And I pushed B-52 and bombed them with the blues. With my gear set stubborn on standing, I broke all the rules, straight my old high school. Never once.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We have full phone lines. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hey, good morning.
What's happening, Carlos?
Oh, boy. Yeah, just the thought that this woman might creep back in into Ward 2 is just, you know, it's awful. It's awful. From what I hear, she's not doing well mentally. Apparently, at the parade, the veteran parade, she was, you know, displaying some bizarre behavior. And was screaming behind. She refused to take pictures with the counselors. She refused to stand with the counselors. And as she was marching along, apparently she was making statements. Watch your back. Watch your back. And that's the information that I was given. So I don't know what's going on with her personally, but I would suggest she gets that taken care of before she tries to seek for any other office in the near future. That's just my opinion.
Well, you know, from looking at the campaign finance reports, she obviously thought she was going to win without really doing much. She left more than $4,000 in the bank that she didn't spend and lost by, what, 17 votes, something like that.
Awesome, and he spent. He didn't spend all that much, and he basically did it with hard work,
yes,
and commitment. And you know, he resonated with people, and he did it the old-fashioned way. And I give him credit for that. And you know, just to, now that I know that information, that's amazing that she actually sat back. But then again, that's been pretty much her MO, no?
Yeah,
you know, just chillaxing, relaxing, just being in between. And she was going to be useless without Mama Morad, you know, involved anyway. So they did her a favor.
I think the voters of Ward 2 retired her at the appropriate time.
Yeah. I mean, I think they saw her struggling, and she needs to get whatever help that she needs. And it happens to, you know, to the best of us. I mean, it happens. I had to get a tune-up years ago, and you know, after this election, I feel like I need another tune-up, but but yeah, seriously, it happens to the best of us. You know, nobody's perfect.
No, we wish Maria Giesta well, and I was glad I had a small part in giving her more free time to deal with her problems.
Yes, a big part, and you know, because you gave us the information we needed to make a good judgment. And it needed to happen. I mean, just look at the ward. Walk around the ward. I'm here a lot, obviously, and I eat here and I play here, and I'm around. And
yes,
I haven't seen any improvements. As you know, I ran, and it meant a lot to me when I did run. I meant it.
Yes.
And to see her squander the opportunity she had, it hurt me deeply, you know, because, you know, it took a lot of work to unseat Martins, and she would have never had the courage to run against Martins.
No.
And she had the opportunity, because of me, to run. You know, she obviously had more experience or whatever, but it is what it is. It's all in history, written in the books now, but it's just sad that the opportunity she had, she squandered it, because she did have the opportunity.
Oh, totally.
And now Scott has that opportunity, and I wish him the best. And for our sake, I hope he does well.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Ward 2, thank you for the call, Carlos. Ward 2 is a great place. I mean, think of some of the giants that have come out of there, political giants. Fred Kalis went on to become the mayor and the Register of Deeds, good friend of mine, the late Fred Kalis, but also guys like Bob Cazera, who had a storied career in the legislature and was on the Ways and Means Committee, started out as a city councilor, Wood too. Steve Martins, who Carlos just mentioned, today has got a big executive position at the lottery. Really good guy. And I think, should he return to electoral politics, has a big future. No, a lot of really good people started out representing Ward 2, went on to other political things. I think that Scott Pemberton has a great opportunity. We know that. As Maria had too, but she squandered it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning, Chris. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, going back to the excise tax
thing. Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's apparent what's going on and why the governor's doing this. She's a racist. She's a racist. She's trying to...
Explain?
She's trying to price out the families and the peoples that are, you know, living paycheck to paycheck so they can have the state all to themselves. That's why they brought in the illegal immigrants, too. Turn them into indentured servants. That way they have people to, you know, have them working hand and foot. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
It's clear. It's apparent. She's a racist. You know what I mean? Word on the street is she might be the head of the KKK of Massachusetts, allegedly.
Allegedly.
What's that? Allegedly. Yeah. But honestly, Chris,
yes.
Listen, I think you owe your listeners an apology.
Why?
Because you are partly to blame for this mess, Chris. I blame you. I blame you for voting for this racist. And
I did vote for Maura Healey. For those of you who don't know that, I've confessed numerous times. I hope that I can rectify that in November.
Yes, please, Chris, please do. And on that note, you have yourself a wonderful day.
Thank you. Yeah, I did vote for Maura Healey. I admit it. I voted for her. And look, I thought she would be able to attract the best talent better than a Republican opponent. She did not, obviously. And now we'll have a redo, right? That's what's good about having elections, frequent elections every 4 years in the case of the governor. So, all right. It does feel, the temperature anyway, feels like Christmas. Soon decorations will be going up. Time to get that shopping done, right? Now, for 78 years, you've been counting on Carter's Clothing. They've been the South Coast's one-stop shop for clothing and footwear. And this Christmas, they're making gift-giving even easier, right? Even easier. Carter's has the best prices on top name brands like Carhartt, Timberland, Chippewa, New Balance, and many, many more. Go in the store and check it out. Find something for everyone. With over 75 styles of boots, cozy flannels, hoodies, jackets, vests, all perfect for the winter. Great gifts at Carter's Clothing. You know what's great about Carter's? Free parking, free available parking at both locations in downtown New Bedford on William Street and on Plymouth Ave in Fall River. Both locations off of free gift cards available in any denomination, as big as you want to go or as small as you want to go. Shop small, shop local. Shop Carter's for Christmas. Carter's Clothing. Check them out. CartersMA.com. We'll be right back. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll be right back. That's the boss, Bruce Springsteen. God, his tickets are really expensive. So much for the working man's musician, right? Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. I guess not. All right. So the hour's almost over. So we see other people on hold, but I know they want to speak longer than a couple of minutes, a couple of seconds. So what we'll do is we'll hold them over till the next hour. In the next hour, we'll do open phones again. Did anybody attend John Deaton's? It was in Worcester. His